The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And we're very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I had an alarm that didn't go off.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep yourself up to date with your favorite artists. And discover some new ones as well at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Billy Howerdell. We're going to be talking with the A Perfect Circle co-founder about his new solo record called What Normal Was. First time that he's used his actual name. Of course, he went with Under Ashes Divide on his first solo record. This one finds him connecting to his teenage years while watching his own kids come into their own discovery era to reflect where he's musically arrived to in the present. It's sort of a time warp crazy thing, and it works out beautifully, by the way. I do promise you that. In fact, speaking of A Perfect Circle, he actually tells us how he used Fiona Apple's Tidal and Radiohead's OK Computer as benchmarks for their first record, Murd and Ums, in 2000. And in turn, in present day, used the first two albums from The Cars, as well as early music from the B-52s, as his guides for this record. We're also going to hear about how listening to the Dead Kennedys when he was young is akin to his children's taste for SoundCloud trap, the impact The Cure's pornography had on his coming of age, and recently remixing songs from Pussifer and Our Lady Peace. So let's jump into this. We're talking What Normal Was. It's Kyle Meredith with Billy Howerdell.
Hey.
So let me start then by saying What Normal Was, this record. Dude, this is all kinds of greats. I've enjoyed listening to this so much. Quite the accomplishment. I really mean that. So congratulations.
Oh, man. Thank you very much.
I guess there's a thread. Maybe it's, you know, what other interviewers have picked up on. Maybe it's part of the press release. But something that caught my ear on this is hearing you talk about how this record was maybe an opportunity to connect with your teenage self, to make the record that you said you would have made had you had the means. What exactly does that mean in this situation for you?
Well, I mean, I start talking about it and then I get literal and, you know, loose but yeah, I started playing music when I was 16, just about to be 17. So I guess kind of a late bloomer in some people's eyes. But you know, earlier than that, this record for me was like tapping into the part of being a young teen listener, like that moment when your lane of music genre desires are defined and kind of starting to take hold and shape. And for me, you know, it was middle school. For me, it was like going from sixth to seventh grade. You know, let me start by saying I'm forced to look, or not forced, I was like kind of an exercise to look back in this because I have two kids. And at the time, they were both, you know, about 11 and 14 years old. And, you know, as they're talking about music, that's, you know, getting them really excited. And of course, I'm being normal parent, like listening to it and go, really, this is the stuff that's making you really excited. But yeah, looking back to the time in my life when that was taking hold and just like nothing can stop it. And that was, you know, going into like middle school, going into like seventh grade, basically. And all the music that happened to be coming out then. And I feel really lucky to have grown up in that time because, you know, I'm still stuck with it. And yeah, I mean, many times the playlist that I make for myself, or, you know, the music I listen to, the albums I put on are from that era. Just had a big impact. So to go and try and make a record as almost like a time capsule, you know, in reverse of going, sending you a time machine back to show my young teen self a record that I was trying to find, probably, but found little bits along the way. This is kind of like the collection of everything I listened to made into a record.
That's, I too have a 14-year-old son. And I think that's why I was sort of picking up on that, because I'm having the same situation over here where, you know, you, any of us, maybe that's in this situation. It is that chance to, all the cult of personality seems to be thrown out the window. That's what surprised me. like even the older stuff that he's picking up on might not have been the old, like, I didn't look at it the same way. Like, you know, Journey was sort of a dirty word to me growing up, but it was a big thing for his generation coming up. And that's
right. Yeah. And some of the things that we, you know, I definitely rolled my eyes and turned up my nose when I was a kid. And I go back and listen to some of the things, like, these are great. This is great music. But for whatever reason, the pendulum swinging over into the alternative space is what, you know, I appreciated back then. And maybe, you know, maybe we just had too much good music around, even if it was on mainstream radio. I don't know.
It was a great time when mainstream radio opened its doors to weird. I feel lucky, and maybe I do think there's actually a part of that happening now. It's different though, you know, it's always different, but some of those bands, you know, I should bring up just while we're here and everything, The Cure, Echo and the Bunnymen. I mean, we're, I think, talking the same love language here, and I'm only referencing the ones that I've heard you reference in other interviews. I'm sure there are more in there, but how, I guess, did that dictate the actual songwriting for this record? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, do you just realize you're sort of using those influences later, or do you use the opportunity to go, oh, I'm going to wave that flag?
I typically set out when I make a record and have two kind of benchmark records that I'll listen to, or at least measure what I'm doing against. And I can say, you know, clearly remember being the first Perfect Circle record. There's two records that I just, you know, I didn't have them sitting on the ledge of my studio monitors, but they might as well have been the things I listened to all the time. Fiona Apple's Title, her first mm-hmm. record, and OK Computer by Radiohead. Like, so when I was making Meredith Alms in basically 98, 99, those were the two records I just wanted Meredith Alms to come to the level to, you know, and it's kind of hard to define what that means. You know, sometimes they're sonic and sometimes it's in songcraft, or at least just the way it made me feel, you know. And for this time, what normal was, the Cars' first two records, I would say, I'll combine and make them one. And, you know, and I kind of, along with that, B-52's first record, like, the sound of those records was really great to me. And even though they're even a little less electronic than kind of what I ultimately, you know, honed down into with this record, there's just so much great space within records then. Records that you can turn up, you couldn't turn up loud enough. And then I guess now I'm talking technically, like, I just wanted a record that wasn't fatiguing, but had, you know, songs I could stand behind. You know, I don't know. I mean, some of this stuff is you know, switching sides of your brain from left to right, you know. But when I get into like the actual songwriting part, I think it's just inevitable, like, getting back to the time I grew up listening to these songs in that era, it's going to rub off on me or whoever's, you know, trying to do this exercise of tap back into what normal was musically for me. You know, I mean, that was, I'm just a melting pot of whatever influences, and, you know, tried to tap into all this stuff. And you try and tap into like 7 or 10 things and you can't do them perfectly. And you're just wind up making your own soup.
Which is a beautiful soup.
Yeah.
I think if you call it a soup, beautiful. The Cars is great. I've talked about The Cars more than I've meant to lately, coincidentally, to our conversation here, in that there's something, it feels weird to say this. It feels like there's a disconnect with The Cars and popular culture, because you could play a dozen of The Cars' biggest hits to everybody and they're like, oh my God, I love that song. I love that song. I love that song. But they never seem to come up when people talk about the greatest bands of all time. You know, it's some weird thing there, but they're one of the greatest pop rock bands of all time. And the craft is amazing.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. The way the great songs, but also recorded, you know, so well. And so there's two parts to that too. Like you know, getting back to having kids and me listening to whatever SoundCloud trap artists that they're getting excited about. And I go, really? Like, this is, you know, I mean, there's some of it's good, but like the scraping the bottom of the barrel sometimes. And like, but that was me with my parents hearing me play Dead Kennedys, you know, I'm sure, as they're, you know, listening to crooners at their cocktail party or whatever with their friends and listening to Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole. And then like, I'm putting on fucking, you know, Holiday in Cambodia. They're like, what is going on? Like, how can my kid think this is art? You know? So I get it. You know, part of it's the irreverence of pissing off your parents, but it is the culture of the time that's hard to describe. Right. And just kind of what we're talking about now, like, yeah, The Cars are great, but there's a reason why they catapulted to the forefront of your listening, whether you liked it or not. They were just like in everyone's face, but they were amazing. So you took it for granted, but you also, whatever record you're listening to, is it the soundtrack to your breakup, to your, you know, family funeral or family vacation or whatever it was, and all these things get tethered and anchored to experience, and they make music even better. So, you know, that's sort of the exercise of this record for me, was just going back and saying, why, you know, seeing, you know, my young kids going through this and then thinking about what I went through in that time. It's just like, what makes music tick? Like, it's, I don't know that it's answerable. It's just, it's a conversation I wanted to have.
I that's a good conversation that I love having.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
But so does that go on to define, you know, you called the record What Normal Was, and the, to me, the important word in there is was, you know, like, what is the was in that title mean exactly?
I mean, really what we're talking, I'd say, to hone in on it, it's that Dead Kennedys, that rolling of the eyes of my parents listening to Dead Kennedys or listening to whatever it was that's just, you know, Pornography by The Cure. I mean, that was one of the most, when that record hit, it was so dark. And so I wasn't that dark of a kid, but there was a part of me that needed that. And went inside of that, really, truly. And it wasn't pulling me down into the depths of despair. It was just kind of this accompaniment of, if I felt that way, it was, you know, a wingman of sorts. And I think just trying to go back into that space, especially when you are, young and just discovering this for the first time and you take ownership of it. I mean, that's the feeling of like your first love, so to speak. And when music hits you, and it's what is your first love in musical terms? And also kind of having an understanding of how music evolves and not being, old guy screaming at cloud, just to go, this is, there's something to it. And there is amazing music I've heard now. Unfortunately, it's harder to lock into, what did you say in the beginning of not demigods, but something about like maybe even playing to rock stars or these giants that maybe I grew up with and maybe you did too, of like they were kind of pushed and we gave them latitude and we gave them second chances to hear what came next. And now it's, there's different appetites and different listening behaviors and trends. And a lot of it's dictated from money, unfortunately. And I guess it was back then too. It was like huge record labels pushing artists and giving them other opportunities to make another record. And now it's like kind of you either shoot heroin in your eyeball or swallow, guzzle a gallon of ketchup on TikTok and then you're the next big pop star. There's just different vehicles to rise to the top.
Which, by the way, you were saying you weren't that dark of a kid and the struggle that was coming in. I saw that pic that you posted, the wrestling pic, and I can see that in real time, I think, in that photo of the argument going on inside you of who you wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a great fake picture. I found that I was scanning old pictures and, I guess I bit on the whole World Goth Day thing and sent it to my friend Kevin, who's an amazing artist. I go, here, either do this in 5 seconds or take 15, which to him taking 15 was like, he goes, do you want it to be the believable? I go, I don't care, whatever, just doesn't take you much time. He sent that back in like 10 minutes and it's like, okay. And then I know some people thought like, wow, you really showed up to wrestling practice. Well, first of all, I was in the early 80s in New Jersey. If I showed up like that, if I showed up like that to wrestling practice, I'd be gone. Like, whatever, it would be 1500 push-ups while people spit on me. Like that wouldn't have, wouldn't have been a good look.
Right. Yeah. It's a good alternate fantasy, alternate reality.
Yeah. In exactly. That right there. But it does surmise. Yeah. Where my head was at with, I was a true, what would become dark wave post-punk, music fan, but, forced to, listen to whatever was the music of the day of my peers, which was not that.
I want to quickly jump into some of these songs that, as you talked about this being a personal, talking about personal relationships, people within these songs, there, even in the moments where that might be true, to me, some of my favorite songs, of course, ones that, skirt that line, they might be very personal to you, but it's coming across in a much bigger picture. Three songs particularly to Selfish Hearts, Follower, Bring Honor Back Home. I don't know exactly what any three of them are specifically about, but there are these moments in all of them, like the opening chorus in Selfish Hearts, which, it's the lead off track on this record. I hear that line, you'll never find what you seek in these selfish hearts and these human hearts. And when I look into Follower and Bring Honor Back Home, do you hear how the songs might also reflect what I'm seeing in the news and on the TV at this exact moment?
Well, I mean, like I said, this music's an exercise in revisionist history with my own, young self. But yeah, I mean, I think even if you're meditating, the background noise of the construction across the street's going to come in, even if you're trying to sink into somewhere else. Yeah, I think it's hard to avoid. To look to look back and try and have this be this homage to a part of my life musically that I wanted to honor, it's impossible to not, you know, try and make it modern and make it current and contemporary. So yeah, those things are impossible to avoid. But yeah, I mean, and then some of it's being a parent, you know, some of it's being having enough life experience to be able to speak to a few things with the, you know, hopefully with enough courage and reflection to not make, you know, to be dispassionate, you know, and truly looking at dispassionate as to try and go past things that, you know, you might be pulled under, you know, I don't know. I could go down a whole path of empathy and free will right now, but I think we have limited time. But, you know, yeah, there's some of that. And I tend not to want to speak to specific, you know, bullet points of what things are about.
Well, and some of these topics seem so unfortunately evergreen. You could have been singing about the 80s and all of these, and it's still going to make sense for what I'm seeing. And you know, we don't have to go into the details this one. And I just want to bring it up because I loved it so much. And that the words in Bring Honor Back Home, you said they set blaze to the temple of reason, repeat every lie till it's true, isolate and destroy all dissenting opinions. They're coming for you. Like, man, I don't have to look far to find a very relevant and recent thread to find those words to make sense to me, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, thank you. And I'm sorry.
Right. You painted it well. That is a compliment. That's what I'm saying. You really did paint it well. And seriously, all throughout the record, I find those moments. I find those moments that they're offering comfort because they're offering reflection in a way. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're sad, it's not that you might listen to happy music to make you unsad. When you're sad, you listen to sad music to feel better about it.
Right.
And and there are joyous moments I do find on here, but I'm able to lean into it as well.
Yeah, I find it's like one of the more happy records I've written. Right. but I don't know. I mean, but again, in Perfect Circle, it's more, you know, I'm writing the music, and in this, there's sort of an uplift musically, at least, even if, you know, some of the lyrics are, you know, kind of mercurial. They're a little all over the place as far as emotion goes. But, you know, that's part of it too. I mean, shit, being a hormonal teen, you know, and if you're trying to tap into that, you know, things don't always have to be so lined up. And, you know, I gave myself a little latitude. So there we are.
Speaking of Perfect Circle, did I see a remix? Is that remix, the Pussifer remix, is that new? I thought I saw that this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it came out until last week. It came out on vinyl apparently first, and I heard somebody do a rip with their very bad, you know, vinyl player with a like, and it was almost very, you know, Victrola-esque, which kind of lends to the style I went with this. I mean, I guess you call it a remix. I don't know if I'm doing a remake or remix or something of a song. I try not to have it be too. I don't know how to say it. They called it a reimagining, and I appreciate that. I think that's a good way to say it. And I did one for Pussifer and for Our Lady Peace, which I never posted. It reminds me, I gotta maybe post about that, right? But the Pussifer one, that's the topic of the day. We're opening for Pussifer today. I'm actually getting ready to go down to soundcheck. We opened for them, or this is our second time opening for them, our first show back at the Greek about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, and then tonight.
That's fun. Tell me, and I said hi. He was just on the series not that long ago. It feels like not that long ago. It was probably a few months now, but
nice. Did he distract you into Food and Wine Land?
I think I distracted him into Food and Wine Land.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, how can you not? It's a fun topic. That's a good topic.
You could have distracted me too. Hey, I will say, for whatever with music, I can cook.
Okay.
I will just brag about that right now. I'll hold my own.
Well, listen, now we've got a reason for a part two soon to do this.
Sounds good. Yeah. Put me in an industrial kitchen and we'll do it, you know, we'll do it real time, and I'll cook you something.
Right on, because I can't cook. Yeah, I can't cook. I like to watch cooking. I don't like to cook. Okay. I find it very frustrating, but I love to eat. So
good. I can help with that.
All right, Billy, thank you so much. I will release you to your day right here. I so appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on What Normal Was, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the kind words and spread the word.
My thanks to Billy Howerdell. Again, the new solo record, What Normal Was, is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the series. Do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you get a brand new one with your favorite artist or new ones to discover at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm still in bed, but this will make for good, a deeper voice than I have, so it's good.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.